We now go to item number 8.2, submissions and recommendations for proposed variation 4, which is an omnibus of miscellaneous changes and corrections. Again, we have Jason Holland, district manager.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we can hear you now.
Oh, great. Sorry about that. This is quite a similar decision that we're seeking, but in relation to a different variation or suite of wording changes to the proposed district plan. And variations 4A to 4H will be familiar to this council because one of your early orders or matters that you had to consider in this triennium was to notify for submissions variations 4A to 4H. We did that, and quite interestingly, we didn't actually receive any submissions other than one. That is relatively unusual in my experience to actually have no submissions other than one. For all except variation 4F, which deals with temporary events, we didn't receive any submissions as a council. What that means is that for those variations, except for 4F, there was no need to hold a hearing, which saves the ratepayers a significant amount of money, which is good news. We still had to produce a lot of paperwork, but in terms of a hearing, we didn't need to do that. So the choice for all of those variations for council today is basically whether or not to make the decision on them, which will trigger the end of that process for those variations, or to withdraw them. For variation 4F, we did receive one submission. That submission was received from the Group Manager Infrastructure Services at Council. And it was in relation to variation 4F, which was focused on the temporary events provisions. In the paperwork that you have, you have a copy of Sean Mellon's submission. You also have the 42A report from planning officer, Laura Willoughby, who has reviewed that submission, analysed it, and has actually proposed some amendments to that variation. And she's recommending that you accept that submission in part with those amendments that she proposes. So that variation 4F, you have a decision to make whether or not to accept the reporting officer Laura Willoughby's recommendations or otherwise. But in respect of all of the other variations, it's pretty straightforward because you have no submissions on them. If you have any questions, happy to take them on this paper.
I think the first one hand up, James Coates.
Mr. Mayor, Jason, I have a few questions, and I'm happy to admit I'm not an expert in this area, so apologies if I'm offline with some of them. So just looking at page 86 onto 87, around the parking in shared group accommodation and boarding houses. I know in the previous triennium, both myself and Councillor Holbrook and others raised concern around this in the sense that we want to encourage more housing in the district because of the known shortage of accommodation and housing, but equally understand that the tension around the need to provide car parks and the cost that comes with that, as well as the reduced footprint for more rooms. And I think from memory, the conversation went around car sharing and using other modes of transport as well. Did you have anything to add to that around how that was reflected? Because I do know that was discussed at the table, and I don't know whether Janet wants to sort of wade in here, but I do remember there was a concern at the time in having our district plan, you know, essentially requiring more car parks. Happy to be corrected.
Yes, I do recall, Councillor Coates, there being some conversation about that. We didn't receive any submissions on it, and that certainly constrains the range of options that you now have about that variation. But it may be helpful just to go back to where it came from. And that was from having some evidence through the implementation of the provisions in the proposed district plan, that the provisions were creating some issues out there for those types of accommodation, not providing enough car parking was creating some issues, potentially for neighbours. And so that was the genesis of variation 4G, was to improve the effectiveness of the plan. And so we notified it, and we didn't get any submissions. And I guess you could take from that some confidence that the provisions as amended are appropriate.
Thank you, Jason. I see Councillor Holborough has got her hand up. I have further questions, Gur, if you could just come back to me after.
Janet.
Yes, I did have concerns around this, and the staff took me through the process of getting to the decisions version of the plan and then to this version of the plan. And I had some confidence that the process would protect the interests of residents and the community through the submission process. I guess I'm slightly surprised that there aren't any submissions. Could you remind me how we call for submissions, and are we confident that those that are being affected by these provisions have had the opportunity to submit and have been aware of this issue?
So, like everything with district plan making, how we get the message out about notifications is prescribed heavily in the Resource Management Act. So we met those requirements. There certainly a public notice requirements, and there is a need for notices to be in libraries and that sort of thing. It is important to note that this is not going to, and as I understand it, change the requirements on existing residential accommodation of the nature that's covered by variation 4G. My understanding is that they would have existing use rights, and provided they don't change the scale or significance of what the size of their activity, they would be able to continue on with the car parking that they provide now. My understanding is this would be about new activities of this type, or larger, you know, growing activities of this type that are already happening.
Look, so just to wind up there, so I don't have to come into debate, I'm happy with the explanations that I received from staff at the time, and I'm satisfied with that response. Thank you.
James, you want to carry on from where you left? Or you?
Yeah, okay. More questions. Thanks, Guru. So the next one, Jason, is found on page 88, and it's referring to Sean's submission around temporary events. I want to be clear, I don't have a fundamental issue. I guess it's just more around how this lands, and also understanding the process as well. And so what I'm struggling with is that there is a submission, whether it's from Sean or whoever it is, that ultimately, if accepted today, can change the district plan, and how the rest of the community have had input into that change if it's been received as a submission. So I'm not saying I disagree with it, but let's just say that I do, and I'm an event manager or something like that, and there's a change to the district plan. How I had no, it wasn't out there in the draft. How, you know, how does that happen where I don't, I'm not able to provide feedback on it? And then I've got one follow-up on that same topic.
Sure. So maybe if I start with just clarifying the nature of the change and really what the effect of it will be. The change that's being recommended here to accept in part and the submission of Mr. Mellon will actually mean that some smaller events that occur on private land won't need to have a resource consent. So from an events manager perspective, I would imagine they would view that as a positive effect. So in terms of the process concern, we only had one submission on variation 4F. That submitter has since withdrawn his right to be heard. People had the ability to submit on this and make further submissions on this, and they chose not to do that.
And so that was when it was notified, when council, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, I'll jump to my next part of it, which is more of a technical aspect. And it refers to the last line around the assumption of one car per six people. It's then further clarified in bullet point number 14, because naturally when you read that, you think, you know, not your average car holds six people. So I'm just wondering in terms of if that's landed today and it's in our district plan, how that is, for people that are reading what they can and can't do, how that's interpreted. Because when I first read it, I just thought that sounds clumsy. And on the other side of it, my worry was if you're running an event, you don't actually know until you have had the event how many people you're actually going to have to it. You could run an event and expect to have 2,000 people, and it could be really successful in a sunny day, and you could have 4,500 people. So again, I'm not going to oppose this, but I do really just want to understand that we've got it right. And I absolutely agree with what you're saying, the intention of this is around enabling and facilitating smaller events, and I support that.
Sure. So the note there was really trying to assist events organisers to more realistically have a measure they could estimate. While I accept your point that it is difficult to even estimate number of people, it's probably even more abstract and difficult to estimate number of vehicle movements. So the thinking behind the note was to come up with a measure that was a little bit more easy to get your head around, even though it still has some grayness about it. And it was suggested by the submitter, and the evaluating officer considered that it was workable.
Okay, I've got nothing further to add. Thanks for the responses.
Thank you, James. Martin Holliday.
Cool. I guess leading on from what James was talking about, I was involved in a couple of instances pre-Christmas around this sort of exact topic. I'm surprised there hasn't... What's the scenario with taking a proactive approach to approaching event organisers with regards to feeding into this? Because to me, this is a fairly... It's a area that's quite wrought with a lot of issues. And from a event organiser position, not just this particular one, but all sorts of issues. And I notice there's been lots of little tweaks and changes along the way, and I'm not too sure how much that all ties into the general change we're agreeing to here. To me, this needed to be workshopped, or there needed to be a scenario here where we either invited event organisers or people in that arena to work through this a little bit. Because for me, looking at this, I don't think those numbers that have been allowed for are big enough, but I would have liked to have pushed back against that a little bit. I do note that with regards to the recommendations that are given, that we do have the ability that these are decisions of her own and they are not binding. So the committee does not have to reach the same conclusion. You know, we don't have to agree with these. So this, the submission part that was rejected by Sean in the submission that he said was her opinion. And we as a group do have the ability not to agree with that. And I would like to have followed that through a little bit. Am I supposed to be talking about the wider picture of this in debate or going through what I have issues with in regards to this?
Mr. Holliday, Councillor Holliday, it's always useful to split your concerns into a number of questions and ask each question so you get clarification from the presenters.
Was there any working groups or any attempts made to engage with this sector with regards to feeding into the changes that are going to be made here in regards to the district plan?
So the Section 32 report that went with the variation did talk about the process that went into this. There were conversations, as I understand it, that were led from a different part of the organisation, not district planning. I believe that they were led through from the economic development part of the business. Look, district plans are always something that we strive to improve over time. In this case, what we have is something that clarifies a couple of things. One is, and this is a really important point, that markets, temporary events on council-owned or administered land, they're now no longer subject to the requirement for a resource consent under the proposed district plan. They instead are to be administered through the bylaw, the Trading in Public Places bylaw, as I understand it. So that's a good news story, I would imagine, for those events organisers. And also what we were just talking about before, we're now seeing a slight lifting in the size of events that occur on private land or land not owned or administered by council. There's a slight lifting in the size of those that are required to get resource consents. So overall, what you're seeing with this variation is a reduction in what you might call red tape in the proposed district plan. It's a good news story, and I would certainly be optimistic that it would be received as such.
I'm not receiving it as such. I just don't think it necessarily goes far enough. I had a chat with a quick text with the economic development manager this morning, and yes, he did feed some of the issues into this, but again, didn't really go through any process of engaging with event organisers around this, because I know directly that there are event organisers in the area that can potentially be bringing large events to the area that do lack confidence through the processes they've been through in the past. And the simple fact that they more than likely haven't been, well, I know for a fact they haven't been contacted in regards to any of this or had the ability to feed into any of this. And I know it was publicly put out, but I think a proactive approach should have been taken here. That might be a bit of my bad, that when this came up, that was very new into the Trinium. But I've got quite a few issues with regards to the different things that I've read in regards to the 100 odd pages.
Councillor Holliday. You need to...
Okay. Look, one thing I just did want to quickly bring to your point, on page 182, with regards to the wording hasn't been changed from the previous 300 cars, 300 per hour. It uses the old wording. The new wording hadn't been put into the amendment as such. If that could be rectified, that would be fantastic. I've got about three or four pages of things
here. And this is totally understandable. There's a lot of paper here. That is the Section 32 report that went out with the plan when it was notified. So that's what we put out as a council in October. That's the wording. And this is the report that matched the wording that went out in October. You will see elsewhere in the paperwork, when it comes to variation 4F, justification for the amended wording. It's in a separate report, essentially.
I have to say I'm going to be supporting this. So my question is, in regards to 4F, what is the scenario? Can that be? Is there any leeway for this to be addressed or looked at separately from the rest of the recommendations at all, or are we past that point?
There is definitely the ability to do that if you chose. Yes, you could do that, I would imagine. Grayson, or
can I ask you the question? If you do that, will you say you've lifted up, cleared some of the red tape? So would extending the process mean the red tape still will exist?
Yeah, it will last for longer.
That's the problem.
If I could get some clarity then, with regards to changes to the district plan in regards to these things, if we agree on this, how easy is it to change it?
Well, the process for changing it would involve staff looking again at the evidence to understand what the nature of the problem was with the new provisions, undertaking consultation, preparing the necessary documents, such as a new Section 32 report, new provisions, publicly notifying those, and going through this process yet again.
And if we were to delay this process in regards to this variation and, should we say, strengthen this report, and I'm not discrediting anything that's been done in it, because from my perspective, there's some good things in there, some not so great things in it. Would that be a correct process for this to be a speedier way to address it from an event organiser's perspective, if you like?
I might just jump in there, Jason, if that's all right, through you, Mayor. Yes, so this package of variations has been done so that they can be individually considered and dealt with on their own. So as Jason noted before, yes, we can make a decision on 4F is the right number, I think we're talking about at the moment, separate to the rest of the decisions. The implications of that, obviously, is that we have to, as Jason pointed out, we have to go back through a further process to amend, to make any amendments. And I would note that we're always limited in what we can change on these variations by what submitters have said in their submissions. So as Jason has also previously pointed out, the fact that we've only had one submission that dealt with some specific matters within this has limited what we can consider in terms of changes to our proposed text that we put out in our Section 32 report. That said, you do have the ability to, as the document points out, to make decisions to either accept or reject the proposal that's been put forward by the council officer for this proposal. The implications of that, if we decide to go back and look at this again, obviously has implications for on timing. There isn't a specifically quick process to go through this. We have a very clear process set out in the RMA for how we have to go through these processes and the notification and submissions processes that we have to do. It would obviously be a narrower process just for these provisions, but it would still have to go through the normal procedures that we have to do under the RMA to go through that process. So it wouldn't necessarily be particularly quick. Does that answer your question?
So can I just give clarification that any attempt to change this now, this particular part, would be more onerous than the gains that have already been achieved by the changes that have already been done?
Sorry, can you repeat that? I didn't quite understand the question.
The changes that have already been done, I understand that it has lifted off some of the red tape around it.
Yes, this change is designed to make it easier for people to undertake temporary events.
So this will disadvantage people who may want to take advantage of the changes now. The opportunity lost will mean otherwise that you have to wait until a whole lot of changes are made and we don't know how long that'll take.
It would delay the changes that we are proposing, and my understanding, although correct me if I'm wrong, Jason, would be that temporary event holders would still, if we didn't proceed with these changes, temporary event holders would still require to get permissions under the district plan until we made through the changes, whereas the idea of these provisions is to allow temporary event holders not to have to seek permissions under the district plan, and instead they can use the bylaw provisions that we have that are less onerous and easier.
Okay. And I think the solution that Councillor Holliday is seeking is, if we agree to this, have the opportunity to work further with event organisers to gain more leverage. Am I right, Councillor Holliday?
Look, that would be a fair comment. I just think we've really missed an opportunity here to have sector feeding into this very important piece of legislation in regards to our district. And for whatever reason that's occurred, it needs, to me, from that perspective, this needs to be addressed. I know for a fact that two key people that do some functions in this area have no idea about this, none whatsoever.
And so, I would have thought, I'm trying to help the situation.
Yeah, so I guess
if you accept this, if you accept this, and then look for further opportunities after this to see what else can be done.
I'm happy to do that as long as there's the ability to do that. I'm aware that once these things get locked in, especially to a district plan, it can be a hell of a process to make any changes. And we're in the process of making change here at the moment.
So that's the exact reason that I'm now going to go up to Jason and Angela to ask, is that possible?
Oh, it absolutely is possible. It's actually really important for council to be constantly monitoring the effectiveness of all of the district plan. And we are very much conscious that the temporary events provisions and the amount of consenting that they've required has been an issue for council, and that's why variation for progressing it to the next stage is
so really Councillor Holliday, I think that gives you some assurance that if you support this, then we can look for you to be working with staff to see what else can be done to improve that area with input from stakeholders.
I'm quite happy to do that. I'm quite happy to do that. As long as there's that provision for that to be allowed to happen, that would be much appreciated.
No, that's good. I think we've come to a good position there.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, we have Alison Law that wanted to speak to this.
Alison Law.
Just in response to some of the issues that Councillor Haray has brought up with regard to discussion with event organisers, there was a lot of internal discussion, particularly with the parks team, from the perspective of organising large events, and also our interaction with event organisers, because the majority of those big events are on council land, so we liaise quite closely with those event organisers prior to events happening. So acknowledge what you're saying about external contribution, but also just wanted to give some assurance that we did look at it from the perspective of those large events externally, through the knowledge that we have of running the events ourselves and working with those event organisers. With regard to the vehicle movements, we had a discussion around that based on the large scale events that we have run for hundreds of people over the day, and felt that those vehicle movements would be sufficient for what we needed to do. And then in that case translates to those other events run by external parties.
Right. I think Councillor Holliday has given us an elegant situation out of this. He will support this one clause. With the provision that there's ongoing discussion with staff on how else or what else can be done to leverage more improvements. Okay. I've got Jocelyn Pravno.
So thank you for Mr. Mayor. So through you, I'd like to just ask a question in relation to, I think it's variation 4G. So this is around, just excuse me, I've got lots of pages open here. So yeah, so that variation is around parking requirements for shared residential accommodation such as supported living and boarding houses. So I know that previously there have been discussions around parking requirements for residential accommodation in urban areas such as Mahara Place. And I'm just asking the question, I suppose, whether or not, obviously that has not been included in here, and I'm actually asking, I see that that hasn't happened, and so when is there an opportunity to do that? Because I think there is general agreement that that is going to be included.
Thank you, Councillor. To be honest, I'm not 100% sure of the issue that you're describing, but I'd be very happy to talk with you about it.
So in Mahara Place, there's a requirement. So there's the opportunity to build flats upstairs on the second floor in the above the retail area in Mahara Place. But at present, there's a requirement that they have to provide two car parks. And I think that's a something that is not encouraging that to happen there. And so there's been lots of discussion about removing that requirement or looking at that requirement so it's not so onerous.
Can I just jump in there, Mr. Mayor? So my understanding is that would need to be dealt with as a separate plan change and isn't within the scope of what we've been talking about, which is around shared living accommodation and parking requirements.
Yes.
So
yes.
Because of that, the scope of this particular variation and what's been out and been notified, this isn't something that we can deal with through this. So it would need to be a separate plan change if we were going to address that.
So through you, Mr. Mayor, Angela, have you got a time frame for that? It's my understanding it was going to occur this year.
I don't believe that can be on that's on our work program for this year at this time. Jason, you might be able to clarify that further. We have I'm just getting a message. The issues that are being dealt with this year are largely relating to resolving these variations on the plan. And so if for whatever reason that issue hasn't been made it into these variations that are being considered at the moment, we would need to look into that. I think we have been intending to brief you on the Ford work program, but that's been delayed by COVID. So I think that's on the agenda for us to discuss with you coming forward. But I don't know that there's been a specific date set for that just yet.
Okay. Because I have to say, so I looked to see when these submissions are open. I think it was basically directly after we were after the elections until November. And, you know, I have to say I missed completely that this was open for consultation. I certainly would have been putting a submission in, or there would have been some discussions around that. So in some respects that's my fault, but also too, I know that, you know, it was a very, 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 very busy time for new elected councillors. And what I'm also hearing is it seems that a lot of other people have missed the opportunity as well, given the very, very limited number of submissions.
Yeah, we don't have any evidence about why we don't have any submissions. So it's all speculation. But certainly I think if we were putting out a variation which was dealing with very large controversial issues, that we would have had submissions. So there must be an element, in my view, speculation, of people realising that in actual fact these issues dealt with in variations 4A to 4H, generally their scale of significance are not at the higher end of the spectrum. There was a reason for the timing of notification as well, which related to a court decision on variation 4H. Variation 4H closed a loophole in the plan that was of some concern and related to retailing in rural areas. We applied as a council to the court for that to have immediate legal effect, and the timing of the court's decision came back saying yes it can, meant that we had to move quite quickly as a council to close that loophole, because that decision by the court was going to go public and basically open up knowledge of that loophole, and that could have created quite some issues. So that drove the timing of all of the variations, because the idea was always going to be that we were going to do a bundle of these quite small sized variations and put them all out at once. It's just more efficient that way.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor.
Angela Buswell and Martin Holliday.
Mr. Mayor, can I just add, please?
Yes.
That we've explained to councillors quite a lot of times in the last triennium when you were the community board chair, Councillor Pravanov. This is all about resolving the appeals to the proposed district plan before we can move on to the issues that we really want to address, like parking. So as we've said quite a few times, all of those larger issues have to wait until we can resolve all of these district plan appeals. The faster we can do them, the better. And we're still trying to get to that point. So it's frustrating for everybody that we can't address some of the bigger issues like the residential parking that you're talking about. But you have been advised to that regularly, that this is the process we have to work through. And whilst we had hopes to get them resolved during this calendar year, due to all the other circumstances, I guess that's looking a little less likely.
Thank you. Angela.
Thank you. I can't remember whether you're in question time or debate time, but I just wanted to say that I applaud the staff and the process. I fully understand that, particularly around this event space. I've had a number of conversations with Natasha over the months about different issues that event organisers have had, and it's really pleasing to actually see these changes come about simply through the workings that council staff are having with industry leaders in this space and other spaces. And so I am feeling really positive and feeling really reassured that the staff understand what the issues are and what the pain points are for these industry leaders to be able to deliver their events. And I'm pretty sure that this also goes into other aspects of council departments and so forth. And so I understand the process, and I believe that the process is pretty thorough, and it's a long process, and some of these event people may not understand that their pain points have actually been reflected and have been listened to by staff. So I'd like to thank the staff for the work that they've done.
Very good. Martin. Thank you, Angela.
5 points. Jason, look, I hear what you're saying. I think, actually, I disagree with Angela a little bit. I think there's a lot of people in the industry that just weren't aware that this process was going on. But I appreciate that Angela was talking to people in the industry and was feeding that into the process, which is great. Could I just ask you to move to page 181, around issue 8? I just had a question around that. Oh, sorry, issue 8, yep.
Sorry, Councillor, bear with me.
Oh, that's right. There's a lot of pages there.
There are a lot of pages. Okay, sorry, I'm with you now.
Can I just clarify in the first instance, what's going in here? Are these the changes that are being made as such?
So what you have there is describing what was notified.
The underscoring is the changes, and the lines through is what's been taken out. Is that correct?
That's right. That is correct. Yep. And so in large part, that is still what's being recommended. But you will note that Laura has recommended some extra changes.
Yep. Oh, no, that's fine. I just want to get that clarified first. I noticed that you have the change there from 30 days to 10 days with regards to notification. I do appreciate that council can turn things around quite quickly. No issue there at all. But I'm wondering whether there should perhaps be some wording in there to encourage people to still use the 30 days or to give themselves plenty of time when they put their application in case something goes wrong with the application. You know, we had that experience pre-Christmas where some things went wrong and that cut down the time frames very, very quickly and became quite an issue. So perhaps suggesting to people to give themselves more time than less.
Yeah, certainly we can look at the guidance material that we're providing. Not everything needs to be written into the proposed district plan. It's actually also possible to provide what you might call soft guidance to accompany it to make sure that it gets implemented well. So yeah, we can certainly look at that as a wider organisation, at how we communicate effective implementation of these provisions and of the bylaw, trading in public places bylaw.
Thank you. Page 182. Where are we? 182. Specifically around traffic, point 10. The wording is still the same as the previous one. Does that stay there until we agree and then it gets updated? Is that the scenario? Or should that wording reflect the 450 and move the upgrade of the car movements?
So this document you're looking at right now is the Section 32 report, and that is what we issued when the variations were notified in October. So it matches what the provisions were that were notified in October. This document itself doesn't need to change, but what you have now is some recommended changes to it, which you can see in the other parts of this paperwork, if you like.
Yep, well, where are the changes? Yep, so that'll be this going forward. I guess what I'm saying is that this going forward, if we agree to this, that gets updated, is that correct?
That's right.
Yep, okay. Page 184. And I don't think there was any discussion around this, but I just do note with regards to waste, health and safety, with regards to, sorry guys, just bear with me here for a sec. The method of waste and recyclable material to be collected from the site to be reused, recycled and disposed of has been taken out. And I didn't read anywhere saying or directing event holders around recycling, minimal waste or any of those sorts of scenarios. Does that get picked up in this document or does that get picked up elsewhere?
So yes, that's correct. That is proposed to be removed and there's likely to be some commentary about why elsewhere in this Section 32 report. I would note that it's removed from the list of things that must be included. That suggests to me that there may still be the ability to ask for information of that nature. It just removes it from the list of things that must be included. And I imagine, without trawling through the report right now, that there would have been a practicality issue with making it a mandatory requirement in all instances, and that's probably what led to its removal.
I guess my concern around that is that we've just agreed on an open letter that Sophie, Councillor Hanford, tabled with regards to our green response to things, and here we are taking out some requirement to meet that sort of standard.
Yeah, and again, it's like all of Variation 4, really, it will respond to implementation issues that we would have had with those provisions. That's really what this omnibus is about. It's having lived the proposed district plan in its appeals version form for a period of time, a range of issues have been picked up with the practicalities of the words as they were. And I imagine
Councillor Holliday, have you got other questions?
No, that's fine. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Nobody else having questions at this time. Would somebody like to move recommendation 30, 31, 32? General Holbrooke moved. Can I have a seconder? James Coates has seconded it. Open for debate. General Holbrooke?
Just remember that during question time, there was one councillor who wanted the motions expressed in part, and I'm aware that under standing orders, if a councillor wants to do that, we should do that. Just wanting to know whether Councillor Halliday would still require these to be split into
parts. Can I just add to that Councillor Halliday was quite happy supporting this, but what he wanted was an opportunity to rework some of that offline with staff to see what other improvements can be done. I think that's where we reached.
Okay, is that correct, Councillor Halliday? I can see you on my screen if you just nod.
Yeah, I think so.
That's great. I just wanted to clarify that, just because it's important if a councillor wants expressed in parts, then that should be done. Just to open the debate on this, I'd like to congratulate staff on these changes. I think it's really positive. I'd also like to note that during the bylaw, in terms of events, we had quite a lot of community input and a number of workshops that led into that, and allowing those provisions to provide guidance under these new changes will mean that we can fully see the benefits of that consultation that happened through that process. So that's a really positive thing that's coming out of this as well. So with that, I've got nothing more to add. Thank you.
Councillor Elliott.
I would just like to have clarified which part it is that
supervision exists.
Yeah, I'd still like to have it clarified which part of the recommendation is the one that relates to the events, especially around that waste minimisation deletion of that requirement. Because we're putting a lot of work and effort into training in zero waste events, and also that is completely against the objectives of the Regional Waste Minimisation and Management Plan. So I certainly won't be voting for that one, but the rest of the recommendations are fine. If that could just be confirmed before we go to vote. Thank you.
Jason.
So the part that Councillor Halliday had referred to, you'd like clarification of that, which part?
Yeah.
Okay, bear with me, sorry.
I've got that in front of me if you want, Jason. Variation 4F, and so that relates to recommendation 30. So that one is specifically dealt with separately under that recommendation.
Thank you.
So that's a clarification. Thank you very much. Next is James Coates.
Thank you, Guru. Just reiterating Councillor Holborough's thanks to Jason and the team to get us to where we are today as we gradually knock these off on our district plan and get closer towards having a completed district plan. I want to take the opportunity, though, just to check whether there'll be any comms going out, given the concerns raised from Councillor Halliday and others, particularly to event organisers, so that there's some clarity and understanding around what these changes mean and the positive impact that would have on people being able to run smaller events and so forth. So maybe we could cover some of that off through some communications with event organisers.
I'm sure the comms are taking note of that. Nobody else has put their hands up.
Sorry, through you, Mayor, can I just clarify to Jackie, I made an error there. All three recommendations, 30, 31 and 32, do relate to variation 4F. So there's parts of it that sit within all three of those recommendations, just for you. Sorry about that.
Thank you very much. Okay, so the recommendation 30, 31, 32 has been moved by Councillor Holborough, seconded by Councillor Coates. We can cast your votes now on yes or no.
We currently have 9 votes yes and 1 vote no. Does that mean we have 1 abstention?
So do you want your no vote and your abstention noted?
There seems to be no response to that.
Okay, it's Carrick. Can I say we take a 10-minute break? Come back at 11:32.
Seeks the council's approval to execute some changes to LGFA borrowing documents. There are three main changes proposed. The first change is to allow councils to be tested at a group level rather than the parent level. This is because it may better reflect a council's financial position if it delivers significant services through a CCO, Watercombe in Auckland. There's no additional risk from this, as the council still has to comply with LGFA covenants, and the undersecurity, which is a call on that council's rate charges, is still in place.
Hang on, Clemens. Is it just me, or the sound is very low?
Can you hear me any better now?
Yeah.
Maybe if we turn off the videos, that might help the traffic.
Should I carry on? Can you hear me any better now?
Yep.
So the second change is for the LGFA to be able to lend directly to CCOs rather than doing it via the parent council. And again, there is no additional risk because the CCO that borrows from the LGFA will have the benefit of a parent council guarantee or its uncalled capital. And the third change is the proposed increase in the amount of borrower notes from 1.6% to 2.5%. And this would have a cost impact to the council of an additional $9,000 for every $1 million that is borrowed. Shareholders Council has reviewed and read changes, and Simpson Grierson has reviewed the documents. If the council approves these changes, they will be executed by the mayor and the chair of the Strategy and Operations Committee on behalf of the council. I'm happy to take any questions that anybody may have.
Right. The first question from Councillor Elliott.
Hi. Am I on? Good morning. Look, thank you for presenting this. You haven't spoken to us before, and Mark would certainly tell you that I always have a lot of questions around the LGFA funding. So my first concern raised reading the report is at page 238.22 that says, while the LGFA is in a strong financial position and doesn't need additional capital right now, it fails to state that the government has just in the last few weeks propped up the LGFA with a $30 billion injection from the Reserve Bank. Is there any reason why that wasn't put in the report? Is my first question. I just have one other question after that.
Can I answer that, Mr. Mayor?
Yeah.
Mr. Chief Executive.
That's not correct, Councillor. LGFA hasn't. What Reserve Bank is doing is a form of quantitative easing where they are buying back bonds. And what that does is keep the interest rates on lending low. It's exactly the same thing as they're doing with government bonds. So they haven't the entity at all. It's a standard technique used by Reserve Banks to manage the pricing of bonds that are being issued. They're doing it for Kāinga Ora, LGFA, and the government's own issuance.
Okay, well, thank you, Wayne. Look, I've been reading straight from the Reserve Bank reporting on that. I have got real concerns about the second change, about the direct funding to CCOs, you know, because we're a little minnow in LGFA, and it seems as though LGFA is set up to support Auckland City, the super city, and their CCOs, and always has been. At the moment, wouldn't it be a time of extreme risk to be supporting CCOs like ports and airports? And for that reason, I have a real reluctance to support the second change. Appreciate your comment.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. There's no increase in the risk to the LGFA or the shareholders because the CCOs are submitted to the same financial tests, the same financial covenants as the parent councils would be. So there is no increase in the risk that they wouldn't lend any more to the CCOs than they would lend to the parent council, to say that the tests are the same.
Okay, thank you. I don't know that I'll be supporting the recommendation, but thank you for your reassurance.
All right, I've got a very simple question. Can somebody explain to me what subordinated convertible debt instruments are? But don't bother giving me an answer. Next question. Anybody else got another question? The chief executive, you want to try that, right? No. Anybody? James?
Thanks, Guru. Look, just regarding the increased cost to council around the $9,000 per $1 million, and I think the additional $1,000 just from memory in the report, how does that affect our budgets that we've already got in place that didn't take that into account, given the debt that we have with the LGF?
Through you again, Mr. Mayor. So it's not a cost as such. So for example, if we borrow $1 million at the new rate of 2.5%, the LGFA will retain $25,000. And when we repay that $1 million back, they will return the $25,000 to us. So if we borrowed $40 million, then we would lose 40 times $25,000. We would lose or we would not immediately $1 million. So at that point, it might have a cash flow impact, in which case, if we actually needed $40 million, we might be better off borrowing $41 million. But it's not, as I say, it's not actually a cost. It's a cash flow.
Are you finished, James? We got a sound problem.
Thank you, Guru. Yes, I'm finished. I'm satisfied with that answer. That helps clear it up.
Right. Anybody else? Otherwise, would somebody move recommendations 40, 41, 42 on page 237? James Coates has moved. Can I get a seconder? Gwyn Compton seconded. So the recommendation 40, 41, 42, open for debate. No debate. I put the motion. Please vote.
We have 9 votes yes, but we also have Councillor Elliott. I'm not sure whether she's wanting to.
I think she put her hand up to state that she wants to abstain, no?
Abstain?
Yep. Hold on. She said no. Jackie.
A division, please.
Division has been called.
So we have 10 votes yes. We'll have to go through each councillor, Mayor, to...
No, but you've seen them with the hands, with the yes votes, right? So if you just go and
do the names of those... Mayor, yes. Councillor Buswell, yes. Councillor Randall, yes. Councillor Compton, yes. Councillor Coutts, yes. Councillor Holborough, yes. Councillor Pravanov, yes. Councillor Halliday, yes. Councillor McCann, yes. And Councillor Hanford, yes. So we have no vote?
No, I have a no vote. No.
It's just not showing, Councillor Elliott.
Well, it's push no, just do it again.
So you can record your vote as no then now?
Yes.
Yes, please.
Okay, so then that's the division we called for. So anyways, thank Carrie. You. Thank you very much, Mr. Clements. I hope that went well.
Thank you. Yes, thank you very much.
Next item, 8.4, race remission for conservation purposes. And report presenter is Rob.
Yes, good morning, Mr. Mayor and councillors. I don't have a camera operating at the moment, I'm sorry.
Oh, you can't see
so this is a report. No, I've tried to start the video, but it says I can't find a camera, so I'm not sure what's going on there. So you're going to have to be spared my visage. This is a report I present annually. The tables, the rates for emission applications for land protected for natural or cultural conservation purposes for the 2019-20 year, and seeks approval for recommended allocations. So rates for emission for conservation purposes is one of our non-regulatory programs to incentivise protective management of our natural and cultural heritage. It's quite a long-running and long-standing program. It's been going for many years. So currently there's just under 100 landowners who benefit from this program. Nearly all of them are landowners with ecological sites on their properties. So I'm assuming that you've read the report, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Rob, this is one of the sort of exciting things that council does. And every year you make the presentation, and every year I ask the same question. Some wonderful stories down here, but we don't blow our trumpet or beat the drums around. It's a fantastic people. There's a good, great stories to be told. So I'm beating my drums again. I'll do the same next year.
Don't expect. Yes, point taken, Mr. Mayor, and you're
That's
right.
That's what I said the last time, Mike.
Yeah, and I'm sure our comms team are keen to, as part of their work program, tell some of these stories, and I certainly try and work with them to get them out there.
Very good. James.
Thank you, Guru, and Rob, for the report. I just want to ask a question around the total budget and in relation to the financial year. So in reading it, there will be around just over $7,000 left in that budget. Is that, given that we're towards the end of this financial year, what happens with the balance within that budget?
Thank you, Councillor. So the remainder of that budget will in effect just not be spent. It's not carried over. It's an operational part of our operational expenditure.
Thank you.
So if it's not spent, it just lapses. Yeah.
Thank you. And each year, I haven't actually paid attention to it. I probably did at the time. But is it usual for the budget to be exhausted, or for amounts similar to this to be unspent?
The budget has crept up a little bit in the last few years. Usually it's a reasonably close match. But we also haven't increased the amount of remissions in recent years. If we increase the amounts of remissions, even a small amount, then obviously the budget would be spent. But I think that difference is such that it would, if we increase the budget, the remissions, it would only be a tiny amount, and then the budget would go. So there's not a big gap there.
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Rob. And I'm not critical of the amount. The reason why I'm asking, and it's probably a question for Wayne or for the rest of the finance team, is there an opportunity there with the balance of that budget to look at assisting funding our COVID response recovery? It's not a lot, but every little bit goes some way.
Councillor, broadly speaking, we've overspent our budget this year. Continuing to commit these funds is the right thing to do, much like with the community boards, but it's in the context where we're actually overspent. So we're probably mostly focused on what we can do with next year's funding now as a priority. But we'll if anything comes up and we need to do something, then we'll obviously come to you and say this is what we need to do. If something comes up in the next 6 weeks that we need to deal with.
Right. Thank you. Anybody else? No. Would somebody move recommendation 34? Jackie Elliott moved, Jenna Holbro seconds. Debate? No. Jackie, you want to speak on it?
Yes, please. I would just like to thank you very much, Rob. We do appreciate the enormous work that you do on this and, of course, the work that the public do on their properties. Thank you.
Right, so I'm going to put the motion moved by Jackie Elliott, seconded by Councillor Holbro. Please cast your vote.
We have 11 votes yes.
Okay, carried. Item 8.5, submissions of the government policy statement on land transport and draft New Zealand rail plan. I think Sean is the reporting officer.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Good morning to everyone. As set out in the paper, the submissions are as amended after receiving feedback from council. The date for presenting those submissions, was Monday the 11th. So we provided the submission, both submissions, and take the report as read and happy to answer any questions.
Any questions? No questions. Anybody? No?
Councillor Randall? Councillor
Randall.
Yeah. I'd like to congratulate Councillor Compton because the double tracking to from Waikanae to Ōtaki has been his baby, and it's not. Notice it's mentioned in the letter, so well done.
All right, anybody else? Otherwise, will somebody move recommendation 35? Quinn Compton moves it. James Coates seconds it. Debate? Gwyn, do you want to speak on it?
I just want to say choo-choo. No, I want to thank staff for their work on this. They're both really good submissions. In particular, Sean was really good. He approached both James and me early in the piece as well. So we sort of helped get it into the state that came to council for the briefing on it. So, yeah, I think this is a really solid submission. And, you know, fingers crossed something comes up in the budget for us in some form. But we'll wait to 2 p.m. to see.
Right. Any other debate?
Councillor Coates.
Thank you, Guru. Just carrying on from Gwyn's point, as portfolio holder in this area, I'd worked with Sean and Gwyn on this and raised a number of points. Also my role on the Regional Transport Committee. And so the team had put together a good submission. There is a couple of things concerning in the GPS and Sean raised one of them around the reduction in funding there from NZTA to council. What I have said to Sean is whether we can have a report back or a memo back to council once the GPS is published in its final form so we can understand the effectiveness of our submission. Because too often on all of these topics we submit, but we never actually reflect around how effective our submission was. And so Sean and the team are looking at covering that off when the GPS comes out.
Right. Anybody else in the debate? Nope. Recommendation 35, moved by Councillor Compton, seconded by Councillor Coates. Please cast your votes.
I have 10 votes yes.
And one missing.
11 votes, yes.
11 votes. Okay, carried. We're down on confirmation of minutes, item 9. The first one is the recommendation, the minutes of the emergency council meeting on the 25th of March, 2020, be accepted as a true and accurate record of the meeting. On that one, any on perusal, Are there any changes or any mistakes that you want to clarify? No? Will somebody move that recommendation one? Recommendation one moved by Councillor James, seconded by Councillor Holborough. Please cast your votes.
So we currently only have 7 votes.
Well, that's the majority. Carried.
So we have 10 votes yes, 1 vote no.
Interesting.
Councillor Randall has his hand up.
Councillor Randall.
I voted yes. I made an error. Please correct.
So 11 votes yes.
Okay. Now, recommendation 2, that the minutes of the council meeting on 30th April 2020 be accepted as a true and correct record of the meeting. Any changes or any moves on that one? Doesn't seem to be secure. I move the minutes of this council meeting be accepted as a correct and accurate recording of the meeting. Can I have a seconder, please? Rob McCann seconds it. Please cast your votes.
We have 11 votes, yes.
Okay, carried. Now looking at item number 10, public speaking time for items not on the agenda. There's none. Item 11 doesn't apply. Item 12 doesn't apply. So that's the end, the closes. I now bring the meeting to a close.